Young English lady from Baghdad. Does monsieur require anything?
Bring me, please, a small bottle of Perrier.
Oui, monsieur.
5 o'clock in the morning is an inconvenient time to board a train, still 2 hours before dawn. Satisfied that his delicate Syrian mission had been successfully accomplished, Monsieur Poirot sat down, closed his eyes, and fell asleep. Poirot awoke at 9:30 and sallied forth to the restaurant car.
Café au lait, s'il vous plaît.
Certainly, sir.
There was only one occupant, obviously the young English lady referred to by the conductor. She was tall and slim, in her late 20s.
Would you bring me another cup of tea, please?
Having nothing better to do, Poirot amused himself by studying her without attracting her attention.
She's most certainly the kind of young woman who can take care of herself with perfect ease wherever she goes. I admire the severe regularity of her features and the delicate pallor of her skin, but she is decidedly a little too brisk and efficient to be called une femme jolie.
Another person entered the restaurant car, a tall man. Of between 40 and 50, lean of figure, brown of skin, with hair slightly grizzled around the temples.
And this must be the colonel from India.
Good morning, Miss Debenham.
Good morning, Colonel Arbuthnot.
Any objection if I join you?
Of course not. Please, sit down.
Well, you know, breakfast isn't always a chatty meal.
I should hope not. But I won't bite.
Waiter, poached eggs and strong coffee.
Yes, sir.
For a moment, the Colonel's eyes rested on Hercule Poirot.
It is obvious what this Englishman thinks of Hercule Poirot. Only some damned foreigner.
Are you stopping in Istanbul, Miss Debenham?
No. I'm going straight on to England.
Isn't that rather a pity?
I came out this way 2 years ago and spent 3 days in Istanbul then.
Oh, I see. Well, actually, I may say, I'm very glad you are going right through, because, as it happens, so am I.
That will be very nice.
He's susceptible, our colonel. Trains. They are as dangerous as ocean liners.
Where have you come from?
Baghdad. I have a post there as a governess.
At the beck and call of tyrannical mothers and their tiresome brats?
Oh, you mustn't think that. The downtrodden governess is quite a myth. I can assure you that it is the parents who are afraid of being bullied by me. You will excuse me, Colonel.
Miss Debenham?
As Mary Debenham left the carriage, Hercule Poirot found himself wondering something he had never before thought possible.
Could it be I am mistaken? Perhaps there is no romance in the air after all.
The Taurus Express arrived at Konya that night, about 11:30. The two English travellers got out to stretch their legs. Poirot was content to watch the teeming activity of the station through the window of his compartment. After a few minutes, however, he decided that a breath of air would not perhaps be a bad thing. He made careful preparations, wrapping himself in his coat and muffler and encasing his boots in a pair of galoshes. He descended carefully to the snowy platform. He could hear voices of two indistinct figures standing in the shadow of the traffic van. But Mary Debenham and Colonel Arbuthnot did not notice Poirot as he stamped his feet and shivered on the platform.
Mary.
Not now. When it's all over, when it's behind us, then.
Rather a strange little comedy I watch here.
I wish to heaven you were out of all this.
Hush, please, hush. We may be overheard.
Oh, it's all right. It's only that odd-looking foreign cove. Mary, I...
Please, not now.
Curious. Tonight it is to speak with such passion and familiarity when this morning they behave as if they had only just met. could there.